Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 38 degrees with light rain falling this morning. It's Tuesday, May 15th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Governor Sean Parnell has signed the state's operating and capital budgets after vetoing $66 million. The lion's share of the vetoes came in one line item, $50 million in a one-time lump sum payment to the judicial retirement system. Parnell said he didn't deem the payment prudent in light of current economic conditions. The rest of the capital budget passed intact, including $38 million for Sitka. The top items in the capital budget for the community include $7 million for new supplemental diesel generators, $5.7 million for Kettleson Library, and $4.25 million for the replacement of A and B Harbor. You can link to the complete list at our website, kcaw.org. Other items in the capital budget for Raven Radio's listening communities: $500,000 for a new seaplane float and dock in Elfin Cove, $240,000 for building maintenance and water and sewer improvements in Pelican, $1.5 million for improvements to Front Road in Angoon, $4.6 million for water and sewer upgrades in Cake, and about $500,000 for other equipment and school improvements there, and $3 million for a fence around Yakutat Airport and a renewable energy project. We also have a link to the full project list for our listening communities online at kcaw.org. Haines Representative Bill Thomas no longer has to court the Sitka vote, and Wrangell's Peggy Wilson does. And Senator Albert Kukesh still has an uphill election battle this fall. The Alaska Redistricting Board yesterday approved Option A, reorganizing Southeast communities in a more familiar pattern. Sitka, Wrangell, and Petersburg, currently in House District 2, will all join the new House District 33. Angoon, which is currently represented in the House by Haines' Thomas, will also roll into the new House 33. The new map means one big change in how House seats are paired up to create Senate districts. Angoon Senator Albert Kukesh's Iceworm District is gone. To remain in the Senate, Kukesh will have to square off against Sitka Senator Bert Stedman to represent Senate District Q, which includes both the new House 33 and Ketchikan's House District, now known as House 34. The attorney for a citizens' initiative in Sitka is unsure what the city has to gain by further attempts to block a vote on land sales. Juneau lawyer Joe Geldhoff represented Sitkans for Responsible Government in their efforts to put a voter initiative on the ballot in 2008. Sitka's municipal attorney refused to certify the initiative, and the Superior Court ultimately backed her up. Late last month, Geldhoff and Sitkans for Responsible Government won a reversal in the Alaska Supreme Court. The justices gave the initiative the green light, but also remanded the case back to the Sitka judge to review some apparent conflicts in Sitka's code. At the last assembly meeting, Municipal Attorney Teresa Hillhouse offered her first public explanation of the Supreme Court ruling. Hillhouse's remarks were broadcast live on both radio and television for about 8 minutes. Listening to her, you would not come away with the impression that the city's lawyers suffered much of a setback in Alaska's highest court.
The courts reversed the Superior Court decisions, finding that as far as the language, it wasn't as confusing as some initiatives that come up to the Supreme Court. As far as the process, they noticed that Sitka does have some conflicting sections and asked us to take a look at that and clean it up ourselves.
They lost, and they lost bad.
Joe Geldhoff represents Sitkans for Responsible Government.
I think any fair reading of the decision by the Alaska Supreme Court in this case is that the city and borough of Sitka, on two substantive, important legal issues, they got croaked.
Those two substantive issues were that the petition's language was confusing and misleading, and that the initiative was unenforceable and contrary to law. In her explanation to the assembly and to the public, Hillhouse says the remand is a chance for the Sitka Superior Court to now evaluate the case on its merits.
What this case deals with is do the voters vote on an issue about municipal assets? In this case, it dealt with the Sawmill Cove property, any sales or lease of a certain value. Do the voters get to approve or disapprove those sales?
Hillhouse, in her reading of the Alaska Constitution, says no. She believes the transfer of municipal assets, even the sale of large tracts of land, is an appropriation and a prohibited use of the citizen initiative. But is approving or disapproving the sale of land really an appropriation? Geldhoff doesn't think that's what the framers had in mind.
Well, there is an important point there, because Alaska's Supreme Court has been diligent since statehood in making sure that a bunch of folks can't get together in a saloon and come up with a local or even a statewide initiative that says, let's give ourselves a big pile of money.
Geldhoff suspects the city's legal team is missing the point.
You can't just give property to your chums and pals and everybody else because you got the votes. You can't just start allocating resources. But that's not what the folks who are trying to put this before the electorate over in Sitka are attempting to do. It's exactly the opposite.
A couple of weeks before the Supreme Court decided in favor of Sitkins for Responsible Government, the justices ruled against a group in Kenai called the Alliance of Concerned Taxpayers, who wanted to give voters the authority to ratify capital expenditures of over $1 million. Hill House has sent a one-page letter to Sitka Superior Court Judge David George, drawing his attention to the Kenai case. Geldhoff says if the city wants Judge George to consider how the Kenai ruling bears on the Sitka case, they should argue their point publicly.
I am not going to respond, nor should I, to a letter to a judge that cites a couple cases and says, you know, these are controlling, you don't have any option, go ahead and dismiss this case. I think it's much more appropriate, and that's what I have asked Judge George on behalf of the folks over in Sitka who brought this case, to set on a scheduling hearing. And if Ms. Hillhouse and the lawyers from Anchorage want to brief whatever points they think are relevant to the Superior Court, then they should have that chance.
Lastly, there's this. Sitka General Code already requires voter ratification of municipal land sales worth over $500,000 everywhere but Sawmill Cove Industrial Park. The proposed voter initiative would have simply put the city property at Sawmill Cove Industrial Park under the same rules. Hill House wants the assembly to interpret the current Sitka law allowing voter approval of large land sales to mean advisory votes. Based on her definition of a land sale as an appropriation, she thinks the voter ratification in the current Sitka code is unconstitutional and unenforceable if it were ever to go to the Supreme Court.
Particularly in the last few years, the court's been coming down on the appropriation issue and has been very much narrowing it and making clear that especially for appropriations issues, that is something that rests with the assembly and it's not to be done by the voters.
Geldhoff is not surprised that the issues of whether a large land sale is an appropriation or whether long-standing Sitka code is unenforceable are confusing. In fact, he's quite blunt.
There seems to be an element of intentionally trying to confuse the assembly.
Geldhoff says the most unfortunate element of this case is that it is pitting the Sitka assembly, who represent the public, against the public. He thinks any constitutional test would ultimately favor the people's rights to control their government.
What's at the heart of this matter is not technical legal issues, really. The very heart of this matter is the issue of how do you allocate power between the citizens and their elected representatives, and maybe the broad question of who's really running Sitka, the citizens, the assembly, or the municipal attorney.
Geldhoff's request for a scheduling hearing in the case of Sitkins for Responsible Government versus the City of Sitka is pending. You can read the full Alaska Supreme Court ruling on this case, plus a detailed written response from Sitka Municipal Attorney Teresa Hillhouse at our website, kcaw.org. A teenager who spent two cold, wet nights lost in the dense southeast Alaska rainforest is home and safe in Port Protection thanks to dozens of volunteer and professional searchers. KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein reports.
13-year-old Michaela McRoberts was out hiking on a Sunday and got turned around on her way home from a nearby lake.
So I thought I was walking the right way at first, but then things started looking less and less familiar, and pretty soon I was completely lost, no idea where I was.
That evening, Michaela's aunt, Terry Metcalf, got worried. She was at her home in Port Protection, a remote fishing village of about 50 people on northwest Prince of Wales Island. Michaela hadn't shown up home for dinner as planned, Friends and family soon started looking for her, and after a couple of hours, Metcalf called authorities. Trained search and rescue crews from larger communities would gear up and fly in via Coast Guard helicopter in the morning. Michaela walked for a long time that first night, making her way through the woods and trying to avoid the thick brush. At one point, she followed a creek in the hopes that it would lead her to the beach.
Took a step, all of a sudden I plunged like up to my belly button in cold water, and I just shot out of the river after that. It was so cold.
No one got any sleep that night back in Port Protection. Terry Metcalf says Michaela's father, Jim McRoberts, and other local searchers were out the door again by 5 a.m. On her second day out in the woods, Michaela heard a helicopter and scrambled to get to a clearing.
And I was running through like the thickest brush. I was getting attacked by spruce and devil's club. So I made it to the clearing, but I'm like waving down the helicopters, and they passed right by me. Didn't even see me. A couple minutes later, they passed right by me again. Still didn't see me. I was so mad. I'm just like, no! Why helicopters?
Close to noon on Tuesday, when she was trying to sleep under a tree to block the wind, she heard a voice calling her name. It was her neighbor, Leslie Fahey, who was in one of the search parties with Michaela's dad, Jim. They were about 5 miles from town, and he says Fahey heard Michaela calling out.
Saw Michaela there, wet and cold and smiling, you know, and I was like, oh, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I just ran over to her and gave her a big hug and then started crying and just happy. Life is great.
In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
So in weather forecast today for Sitka and Fort Alexander, calls for rain showers diminishing in the afternoon, highs around 46. South winds 10 miles per hour becoming northwest in the afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain showers, highs around 52, west winds increasing to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. This is KCAW, Sitka.